This Mother's Day, celebrate the extraordinary women in your life with a heartfelt gift from Blue Nile. Whether it's for your mom, a mother figure, or yourself as a mom, find that perfect piece to express your love and appreciation. Explore Blue Nile's exquisite pearls and mesmerizing gemstones that she's sure to love. Enjoy fast shipping options like guaranteed free shipping and returns. Make this Mother's Day unforgettable with a piece from Blue Nile. Right now, get up to 50% off at BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
Burrow's furniture is built for the way you live. From ensuring easy assembly and disassembly to honoring highly requested new colors for their award-winning seating, they always have their customers in mind. Their modular seating is made out of durable materials to last and grow with you. And with Burrow, you always get fast, free shipping. Get up to 60% off during Burrow's Memorial Day sale at Burrow.com/ACAST. That's Burrow.com/ACAST. Burrow.com/ACAST.
Okay, the word is out. They're gonna talk about the VOD and the silver screen. Kevin and Tom and Joe know all there is to know, from masterpieces to deep fried tacos. And if the movie sucks, you might hear them say, there's no telling where the guys will take you. Get ready for a spoiler. Won't say it twice, cause we already warned you. Better watch out, it's gonna ruin the plot. Real spoilers. Real spoilers. Real spoilers.
Broadcasting from the lush but not lavish studios located in the basement of the O'Keefe Institute for Advanced Film Snarkitude, this is Real Spoilers, episode 755, the lost voyage of Demeter.
I guess it's the last.
It's definitely the last.
Didn't sink.
Didn't, but it did crash.
Yeah. Only had to watch the first 3 minutes of this movie. What was the point? Should have left after that.
Yeah, and they put the spoiler right in the title.
They do.
Yeah. Like, what's the point of this movie?
Yeah, I was asking myself that for all 1 hour and 58 minutes.
You know what? I wasn't, because I was sleeping.
Had a blast.
I literally fell asleep during this movie.
I was fighting it.
It was so boring.
So boring.
I was all in.
So let's go around the table and everyone can introduce themselves. We'll start with the person who has the movie.
This is Kevin.
Sorry, this is Joe.
Zing.
Yeah, that was good, though.
This is what happens when you work the night before and you're still awake.
I got nothing. This is Kevin.
And this is Tom. So before we get into everything, in case we haven't already, I guess, shameless plugs. Don't forget we're available on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Google, iHeart, TuneIn. Wherever you find a podcast, you can find us. While you're there, be sure and follow us so you never miss an episode. Maybe leave us a review. That's always super helpful. You can also find us on the Facebook, facebook.com/Real Spoilers. It's the best way to talk to us if you are so inclined. We're always in the group chatting. It's called the League of Show Shares because we're hoping you also share an episode. People who were kind enough to share an episode this week include Librarian Cynthia, who is safe and sound.
Oh, good.
She's
good,
in
good,
Hawaii,
good.
For people who aren't aware.
Glad to hear that.
I believe her home address is 1590. No.
You checked on her on Google Maps.
Yes.
Yeah. There she is in the yard.
Travis Tewitt, Chris Falls, Glenn Cougar, Melon Brewer, Jason McLean, Lane LeVanway, Tammy Lynn Powers, Betts, Julian, Jordan, Ralph Tribble, Chris Magic Man, Gabriel Lugo, Tom Dowdy, Dissect That Film, Taylor Ward. Sounds like a department store.
A little bit, yeah.
I always think of Jay Ward.
Who's that?
From
Rocky and
Bullwinkle.
That's the first thing when I ever hear that name. I'm like, maybe a relative?
Maybe.
We had a relative of Burl Ives, so. Yeah.
That's true.
Yeah.
Where was it? Oh, Taylor Ward. Heather Sachs, Jeremy Todd, Christopher Rex, Edit Photo Gamer, The Film B, Nerd Adonis, Mike, and Oscar, Binge Movies, Geek to Me Radio, Ronnie Castle, Colby Mack, Nostalgia Cast, Spoiler Piece Theater, In Session Film, Two Peas on a Pod.
That's a good one.
Pod is open and they're great. On top of the pod?
They're on a pod.
Yeah. But Two Peas in a Pod, that's a, well done.
It was on a pod.
Two Peas too.
On a pod. This is a podcast.
Yeah, now I don't know what's happening.
Right?
Yeah.
So I hope they do it on a pod. I hope there's a large Monsanto overgrown.
Oh, I was like, I hope they do it on a pod person.
Matt Neglia, Ryan Terry, and Feeling Film. So there's all that.
Also, it worked.
It did. Also, don't forget, we have a Patreon.
There it is.
Patreon.com/RealSpoilers, where for $5 a month, you get bonus content, and we love you long time.
That's right.
So there's all that.
Let's, did we get reviews?
No.
Did we?
Yeah.
Oh, my gosh. I completely forgot that we had that.
Review privileges revoked from Joe.
We have a
diplomatic
review that I think counts as a Patreon episode.
Yeah, I think
it
that's
was
right.
Very lengthy.
All right. Buckle in, folks. Great podcast. This is from Big Tuna. For that's a great name.
How I Met Your Mother reference?
No, that's a Office reference.
Oh, is that Big Tuna?
He was Big Fudge.
Oh, Big Fudge.
Yeah, Big Tuna was Jim.
Yeah.
Oh,
that's what Andy would call Jim.
You've got it.
Or I guess you just call him Tuna. Yeah. Hey, guys, love the podcast. Been listening to it for years. Just listen to the Oppenheimer review real quick. As you may know, when Oppenheimer shows Einstein the equations that show the possibility of a nuclear explosion destroying the planet, and Einstein gives the equations back saying something like, "I was never the best at math. It is not meant to be a humble brag." Einstein was a genius for putting the pieces together in the new creative ways in his theory of relativity, but he had substantial help from his friends and colleagues who were more gifted mathematicians with the supporting equation. Jeepers creepers.
Now, this is Joe doing this from memory because he's a scholar. Yes, this is just, right. Just so you guys know, if you're not watching, Joe is just explaining this to you.
It's actually, I know all of this. Yeah. I totally lost where I was. And an early paper publication from Einstein that was the precursor to the publications that made Einstein famous, there was actually a mathematical error in the paper. So when Einstein says something like, "I wasn't the best at math," I think it was meant to be a joke for the science nerds who would know that Einstein had substantial help from his colleagues with the mathematics for his theories. There would be some dialogue in the beginning of the movie that alluded to the fact that the best theoretical physicists, i.e. Oppenheimer and Einstein, are not necessarily the best mathematicians, which is its own specialty. But it's hard to pick that up unless you already knew that. If Nolan, like, did some Einstein Easter egg, holy
but
guacamole.
Didn't they say that on the podcast? That like
I wasn't here, I don't know.
That it was kind of known that Einstein wasn't good at math.
I think so.
Yeah. Yeah.
But either way, if Nolan's like, "I got a joke for him."
Yeah.
They like Easter eggs. I got an Easter egg.
That's a cool review, though. Thank you for listening and the positive words and then also the explanation because, you know, we don't always catch all those little.
No.
Especially when it's about math and science.
Yeah, right.
I mean, Joe wasn't on that episode to explain it to
us. You want to drop like a superhero reference.
Right.
Got you.
You weren't here, so you couldn't explain it.
That is also correct. I could not explain. Yeah, as a matter of fact.
Yeah, it would have been a 3-hour podcast if Joe were here.
That's neither here nor there.
Anyway.
Timer going?
There's all that. Oh.
60 minutes?
Yeah.
Oh.
Oh, yeah.
T-minus.
I thought you were telling me I forgot to turn on the timer.
T-minus 53 and go.
Oh, man. It's so.
Oh, we have a YouTube channel.
Oh, yeah.
Oh.
YouTube.com.
Lord knows.
About that.
Yeah.
Voyage of Demeter.
I feel like we have been in this weird period with vampire movies.
They stopped making them?
Well, they did Twilight, right?
And then, good lord, that's been gone for 15
but
years.
I'm saying like that version of a vampire.
Yeah. I think everybody pivoted to zombies.
Yeah.
Yes.
It all became zombies. And then didn't we, what was the movie we saw where it was a vampire movie, but they were really zombies?
Oh.
We were like, they're calling them vampires, but everything about them is a zombie.
There was something, shoot.
I know what you're talking about.
But
I haven't seen a good, like, Renfield, I really enjoyed, and that was more of a comedy, though, right?
Yes.
Like, and I really loved that portrayal and the comedy of
there
it all.
There was a movie called The Invitation, I think, that came out a couple years ago that they almost from dusk till dawned it, where you
started off with one thing.
And you're just like, wait a minute.
As a kid,
movie?
I was just like, what? When I saw that on VHS?
Spoilers for From Dusk Till Dawn.
Oh, yeah, please. Give him a 5-second warning.
When Selma Hayek turns, you're like, what?
And the movie just goes
bananas.
And
it goes bananas. Yes, I love that movie.
Yeah, when I was a kid, I rented it from the Schnucks, our local grocery store on VHS, had no idea what to expect. And I was like, oh, this is cool. Quentin Tarantino, yeah, the witty dialogue, and all this stuff. And then I'm like, what?
Yeah.
What is this?
And then it is off to the rails.
Yeah.
But I do think that they've gotten away from the scary, violent vampire, right? Mm-hmm. I think that the Bela Lugosi version is what we had for years until Christopher Lee did the Hammer stuff. And if you've never seen the Hammer Christopher Lee vampire movies, I think they obviously go off the rails a little bit by like the fourth one. But at least those first two are insanely and very like scary for 1960s, 70s. And then, you know, we got Blade, or we've gotten From Dusk Till Dawn, or John Carpenter's Vampires. But
that
then,
first Blade is so good.
First two are really good. That second one's also equally as good. It's a different kind
Del Toro.
Of movie. Yeah. And then the third one.
I just remember, I mean, as a kid, though, watching that, I thought that was the coolest
movie.
That
opening scene's amazing.
That, oh my gosh. Is that the one that goes, don't, 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 don't?
Yeah, they're having a rave in like an old meatpacking plant.
It's such a cool movie, such good action. Wesley Snipes is awesome as Blade. I thought that Deacon Frost, who's that guy?
Stephen
Dorff is awesome. Great villain.
Don Loge. He was great.
Yeah. It's just such a great movie, and I'm really curious, like, before the writer's strike even, I think that, I mean, that lost a director, changed a director.
I think so.
There was a big, and I was
Marshall
excited.
Ali has stayed on this
apparently
time.
I mean, it's for now, but with all those changes, like, he can only lock up his schedule for so long, right? Because he has to take other movies, and if he knows he's doing the big Marvel movie, you know, he's got to turn stuff down. So, like, it sucks for him to be tied to it. I mean, now doesn't really matter at the moment,
but previously,
if it gets delayed 2 years and he's locking in, well, they're gonna film during this time if we get it going, so
I don't know.
But anyway, I was excited for it, but I don't even know if it's gonna happen at this point.
I think if anything it'd be a TV show at this point. I don't know if it'll be a movie. But then Twilight happens, right? And that version of vampire kind of takes over pop culture. Like, it's everywhere, and those movies were massive. Right? Yeah. They did a bunch of money.
Like, Interview with the Vampire, I watched growing up, and I always thought that was cool. And, like, I think that was probably one of the more pop culture vampire movies, right?
Big time.
It was a huge movie.
It won Oscars, right? Won an Oscar for sure.
For adapted.
Kirsten Dunst did.
Oh, Kirsten Dunst.
Did she win?
I think so.
I don't remember.
She was definitely nominated.
Yeah. She's a good little actor. She, you know, like, I remember I saw Natalie Portman in The Professional, and I saw her in Interview with the Vampire, and I just was impressed. Where, like, those are, and Tom and I, it was off mic, I think, but we were talking about Lindsay Lohan, because I was watching the doll movie, because Barbie, whatever the DCOM movie was with the doll, it's something that Katie grew up watching, and we watched it, and I'm like, you could just tell that Lindsay Lohan was such a good actor at a young age.
I feel like Mean Girls is it.
She was great in that, but
in Mean Girls she peaked.
Yeah.
And then she did like Herbie
I think
Fully
she was,
Loaded.
She
and...
was barely holding it together for Mean Girls.
She
was already like a hot mess. But
and then I feel like Emma Stone became Lindsay Lohan.
But she's a better actress.
But that's what I mean. Yeah. Like, don't I mean she
not
kinda...
a problem.
Right. Yes.
But
yes.
She became like the redhead that's quirky, like doing the same type of roles. That
right.
Like, attitude.
I could definitely have seen Lindsay Lohan in Crazy Stupid Love. Like, I could see that.
Yeah, she's kind of the same. I know they're both redheads. I'm not just saying that. But seriously, it's like the roles seem like almost the same.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But yeah, and then we've been, you know, monster movies kind of don't exist anymore. Nobody really does monster movies. It's ghosts because of The Conjuring and all that stuff, like, made stupid money or found footage. And so while I understand everybody's criticisms about this movie,
I like the idea of this movie.
The concept is freaking great. I was excited to cover this
movie. I would love a good throwback movie like this. I like the idea that it's based on one chapter from Dracula.
Yeah, I think it's a brilliant concept to take a chapter and expand it if you do it right.
Especially because this chapter is basically like a bottle episode.
Yeah.
Like, if people haven't read Dracula, they're not familiar with it. When they hear a chapter of Dracula, that sounds ridiculous. But like, there's this kind of standalone chapter that's basically like a long short story, and it's about how Dracula got to where he was at,
right?
And he's on this boat, and he starts picking people off on this boat one by one. And it's interesting that it's especially considered Dracula's written in like what, like 1860 or something, that it got a very modern sensibility. That all of a sudden the story kind of pulls out, and you're getting like newspaper clippings that are telling you that you have to kind of piece together with excerpts from the captain's
log
in the book itself.
I got you.
And so it's a very, I guess I can't say modern take because it's something people
it was ahead of the time,
but
it's
something people still steal from.
Yeah,
right.
J.J. Abrams throwing me out that book where you have to put a bunch of trinkets together.
Exactly. Yeah. Totally. And so it, you know, like
They copied J.J. Abrams.
No, yeah, Bram Stoker, you son of a bitch.
It's weird to see a premise that feels that modern in a book that old, right?
It's like watching The Apartment, man. I love that movie. Yeah. And I'm like, that movie is such a modern sensibility. I cannot believe it was made that long ago.
Like it fell through a wormhole in time.
That is one of my favorite movies. And I just cannot believe when I discovered it. I don't know if it's been 10 years now or whatever, but I when I first saw that movie, and then I immediately messaged Tom, and I'm like, I love this movie.
Tom's
I know. It feels so out of place.
It does.
And it's amazing.
It's like who, especially because, The Apartment is about this woman who's having an affair, but it's this very kind of non-slut-shamey take on it, which, considering it's made in, 1961?
That sounds right. I can't remember the exact year. That sounds right. But, and then Jack Lemmon is so funny. That dude is so good. Yeah.
He's always
1960. So that's pretty good off the top.
That sounded right. But and then, he's in Lady Killers, right? Same director. Yeah. I was thinking he used him in a few other Billy Wilder. Something Like It Hot. Yeah. So, that was kind of his troupe. Like, some directors.
Billy Wilder didn't do Young Sherlock Holmes, did he?
No, he was dead by then.
No.
Okay.
But Billy Wilder was one of those directors that could do so many.
Wilder, Howard Hawks, Richard Donner,
those craftsmen.
Yeah. Like Billy Wilder movies, they're all so radically.
They're
different.
All over the place, and they're all so good. A lot of them.
Yeah,
are
it's
so
like
good.
The Apartment, Some Like It Hot, Stalag 17. You're
right,
just like what?
What?
Yeah,
where the
craftsmen
did that come
like Ron
from?
Howard?
Yeah,
director
yeah, sure.
Fryer,
yeah, those guys
you know?
That can kind of just do whatever.
Yeah.
But anyway, so the premise of this movie, it's like I was in, you know, and
it's great.
Like,
I love chamber pieces, and I love the idea of a contained claustrophobic
chamber pots.
You
know what?
Which is what this movie is.
She belongs to one. I started thinking during this movie, I'm like, all those guys are stuck in a boat and they're all going to the bathroom. Yep. I'm like, that is a smelly mess.
That's what I'm trying
to clean that and dump it over the...
Like when people, we look at Pirates of the Caribbean or things like that, and it's like...
Oh, so
that
beautiful.
Was
Johnny Depp looking so clean and great.
It was an awful existence.
Yes.
Well, that's why they sold so much perfume back then.
Yes, that's
right?
True.
Like, because people didn't bathe regularly.
No.
Yeah. There was no hot water. You know how hard it was to get... A hot bath was a luxury.
No wonder they called it eau de toilette.
That's
you need some eau de toilette. You're smelling like
gross.
The toilet.
Yeah. But this,
the whole world would have smelled like Axe body spray. And those teenagers that I don't need to shower. I have Axe body. God, I remember when I worked at Pops.
Work on a college campus, man.
And it was just like those kids would come strolling in for AFI or something. And it'd be like, oh my God. I'm like, you're not supposed to use it. Instead of a shower, it's in addition
As
to.
As someone who used to go to comic conventions fairly regularly.
Yeah.
Yep.
I got an early Comic-Con review funk. For the book, Bram Stoker's Dracula. Oh, that wasn't scary.
I saw that coming from a mile away. But I did think, as I'm watching this, it felt a lot like Alien.
Sure, it's Alien on a boat.
Well, it's Alien and Salem's
Lot. And
what
else was I thinking? Yeah,
are the two that I kept going back to. Mm-hmm. Like it's a mix of those.
But so the idea of claustrophobia I like, except this movie is shot so poorly, I never had a sense of space.
No, it's very messy.
And it's
$45 million on this. You know what? I looked up the budget because I wanted to give it the benefit of the doubt. I'm like, if this is a $5 million movie, then maybe this is a little it's Universal produced, but more indie done and hire this director no one knows and
they're
make a little
kind of a
thing. Yeah. And then I look at $45 million and I go, okay, no, there's no excuse.
And
what did they do with $45
million? It's not the cast of this is the guy from, it's Sir Davos from Game of Thrones.
The Onion Knight, yes.
And then it's the dude. I couldn't figure this out for the life of me. I knew it's he played Dr. Dre.
He played Dr. Dre, yeah.
And that's, I was like, I wish I could know this guy's name. And if he is British,
is that Corey Hawkins.
Yeah, if he's British in real life and he was able to capture Dre's voice, that's even more impressive.
He was on Walking Dead.
I think by the time I stopped watching.
Yeah, me too. Yeah. Once they clubbered Glenn, I was like, nah.
I think I stopped in season. They were stuck in a prison and never leaving. And
that's the show. Walk. Find some new place.
Lord of the Rings.
I was like,
just
done.
Three movies of people walking to a volcano.
It was so dark. Visually dark that I'm like, I can't see what's going on. Not in a ooh, this is scary way, but and just I don't even know what I'm looking at, and
it's just really boring. Too,
they
is
need,
the problem.
If they need someone to just be vicious in the editing room, and pull this thing down to 90 minutes, and they might have something.
Sure,
because, not enough happens in between.
Yeah,
stuff because
when they would get to the Dracula scenes, it was good. Now I get you can't make a whole movie of just can't you know, yeah, a compilation of Dracula kills. Sure, sure. I mean, I get that. But
oh, it's Jaws is the one I was thinking. It's Jaws, too.
I could see that. Because
they're hiding Dracula, and they're all like, oh, there's something out there killing and picking people off.
Yeah, that's fair.
To me, it seemed like Jaws, I don't want to say on a boat, but Dracula Jaws. Jaws killer. We got something there.
Jaws on a boat.
Hold on. Vampire Jaws. We got something.
Yeah, I just, like, it was just so drab in between, and it was hard to see. And I was like, oh, we're going to see this, like, old-timey boat. That'll be fun.
Yeah.
And like, you really don't. And
you were wrong.
Yeah,
it's, I was very, very wrong. That was my issue as well, is I do feel like, again, we've talked about it a billion times, is horror movies don't build characters, right? But
this movie wasn't scary. That's the other thing.
I don't know had to be.
It was too, you say it's too dark, but I also think it was like too bright. There was no atmosphere of I'm nervous because something's about to get them. Like,
right.
It seemed like I was watching this in the broad daylight, outdoors, you know, like I just, when I was, you know, I'm watching on the big Alamo screen, but not the big house, but a big screen. And it just never, every kill was just like, just felt like it was happening in daylight, you know?
I think that's fair.
They didn't set this atmosphere enough to make it, and maybe there wasn't a good enough score. It just didn't grab me, you know?
Yeah, I think that's a fair thing. I do think that, though, they were trying to kind of do what they were doing in Insidious 5, where they were trying to rebuild... In Insidious 5, they were trying to rebuild those characters, right? And make you care about them. And I feel like in this one, they were trying to do the same thing with the captain and his grandson. Captain Tennille.
Was that his son or grandson?
I think it was his grandson.
Okay. Trigger warning. Dog dies very early in this movie. Very early, like first
kill. They kill a kid.
And then a kid dies. So like trigger warning for
not
people.
Only,
and I don't think the kid's in the short story.
Oh, they invented him to kill him? Oh,
yeah, like at first I was like, boy, you can tell this is from the 1800s. They didn't, you know, they're like, kids die. You know, like whatever. And because, I mean, also, if you think about it, back then, kids died.
Right.
Like that. Like today, thankfully, it's fairly uncommon for a child to die. But back then.
Like, unless you're Jacob Tremblay.
Yeah, that poor. God.
What if they cast him in that? Or what if it's him?
Can I tell you that to this day, I have a hard time with that entire scene.
That's a messed up. And the extended version, the director's cut or whatever, is longer.
It is. He's so convincing. I don't like that scene at all.
It's your flounder right there, man.
Well, he got flayed all right.
But back then, like, kids died all the time. You know what I mean? It wasn't uncommon to be like, you know, oh, it's a family of 10, but there were two other kids.
Right.
Rose the Hat, Dr. Sleep, are they vampires? No, they're not, though? Like,
they're shine vampires.
Okay.
But they treat
them
like
people
vampires.
And they get powers. Like,
hey, I don't know. They ever called them vampires.
No, but I'm wondering if
the rules work somehow.
Yeah, an example.
I have a theory about that movie.
You mentioned it. Tweeted it.
I think Jack has the shine,
which I think makes perfect sense as to why he can see all the people.
I think what happens is he has it, and he's using alcohol the entire time before they get to the Overlook
to suppress it
because he gets
he's off alcohol and he's going
gets sober
and
I don't think the Overlook was after Danny. I think once they realized that Jack was susceptible, it latched onto Jack and he's sober now, so now the shine is completely off the rails and, and they get a hold of him. We know that Danny and Dr. Sleep is using alcohol to suppress the shine there.
Yeah.
So that's
work checks out 100% to me. I don't know why I hadn't heard that before. When you said that, I'm like, well, yeah, that just makes sense.
Right.
And maybe is it Mike Flanagan?
Yeah.
And he adapted the book, right? But I mean, like,
Mike Flanagan did Dr. Sleep. Yeah.
Yeah. And maybe they were, I don't know if he had more input on that with King or how that worked, but maybe they were retroactively planting that because
maybe
you see Danny and he's using alcohol to numb it and they're kind of like,
and then what happens when Danny's sober at the Overlook?
Yeah,
it goes after Danny.
Yeah,
right. And then of course that movie's fantastic. That
no beer,
cut,
no TV. It's right there.
That's right. Make Homer go something.
Yeah, don't mind if I do.
Give me the bat, Mark.
Give me the bat.
But no, like, I do think that they were. I also got like flashes of The Thing where you're not really sure who you can trust, or you know, there's
these, Among Us.
Yes.
For the kids.
Sure, yeah, Among Us for the kids. God. But I do think that there are some really good moments in this.
Gory moments.
Yeah, I did really enjoy it for the most part. I don't disagree that it is a little long on the tooth.
I didn't like Dracula. I
and, like, he was a monster the whole time.
Well,
was,
especially because they say that he can shift, disguise himself as a man, but you never really see it. You get in that last scene,
kind
but I'm
of
like,
too, and
but
he
I'm
didn't
like,
even look like a
I'm
man.
I'm like, you ain't fooling anybody.
He looked, like a vampire bat with a top hat on. Like, he still looked weird. Like, why did they not make him? We know he should look like Gary Oldman by that point.
If you put a wig on Nicolas Cage. That doesn't make him trans, right?
Sure.
That's what they're doing here. Yes. I'm like, you said, they just put a top hat on a dude and said, like, look at me. I'm Mr. Theodore, not a vampire.
Yeah, right. And, like, I'm surprised he didn't have those glasses with the nose and the mustache.
Yeah,
right.
I'm just like, you're not fooling
anybody.
I
thought what they were going to do.
He should look like Gary Oldman at that point.
I thought they were going to hide who he was.
Yes.
Because they're clearly trying to set up a sequel and that they were hiding his face so they could maybe cast a name actor
in the next one. There were two things that I thought they were going to... One I wish that they would have done is...
Made a different movie.
No.
Shortened it.
Yes. But every time he would kill someone... Mm-hmm. I thought he would look more human.
Right?
Like,
which kind of changed.
That
he got powers.
Yeah,
he could
fly. That
would have
been clever, which is why they didn't do it.
I know.
But they kind of, he was, to kill a human, he would get more powers back. He would get more strength because at first he's crawling and really weak.
Yeah.
And so that makes sense. But I thought, and I thought they even told you in the film, it's like once he gets his powers up, he can transform into humans and stuff. So why did they never get to that?
The second thing I thought they were going to do is in that last scene, I thought he was going to be Bela Lugosi. I thought for it, like, with everybody doing, like, the likenesses, and this being a universal movie.
I was wondering if it would actually tie in.
And I wasn't sure which one they were going to tie into, right? Because you could do it either way. You could do the Gary Oldman
one. Who was the Dark Universe? Did we have a dragon?
We never got that far.
Well, here he is. This is just...
Well, that's the other thing I thought, right? Is this is a universal movie. Huh? They've already done The Invisible Man.
Yeah.
I'm like, if they're going to, like, backdoor this into being part of that world,
if it were good,
they probably
if
would.
It worked
they
out
would
then this
it.
Would
yeah.
be and like you said, it's brilliant because Dracula can disguise his look so you could cast different people and it wouldn't even matter. If this makes $100 million on a $20 million budget or whatever, then you go like, okay, let's throw some whoever money at it, you know, whatever the hot actor would be that would be the human form of Dracula.
Yeah. Well, Universal does have a Dracula movie in
Luke Evans.
He did it once. Dracula Untold is a thing that is real.
But he could do it in like the older, more sophisticated, because I think I like him as an actor. I'm not saying that movie was good, but
it was not good.
But he could do, I think, the more.
Yeah, for sure. But I think that there, I mean, I'm almost positive Universal has a Dracula movie in the pipeline.
That Karen Kasama was going to do one. It's not.
Oh, it's not happening?
I don't think it's happening, unfortunately.
No, well, nothing's happening right now.
Well, that's true. Oh, but, I just
didn't like.
Yeah, my movie's not happening either.
Yeah.
That's really frustrating. Yeah.
Signed a 3-picture deal.
Yeah.
It's not going to happen.
Now it's not
going to. But yeah, I just didn't like the look. Like, I didn't mind the
He looked just like Salem, the vampire in Salem's Lot.
Yeah.
Like, almost identical.
But it's just like. I felt like they were trying to have it both ways, but then not actually doing it.
No, you can't say, like, he disguises himself as a human,
right.
And he never disguises.
But yeah, that's the thing is, like, the way they end that movie, you can make him look however you like. You can have him. So the end of this movie, right? You want to do 60 minutes? It doesn't matter.
I will talk about Ninja Turtles again for 30 minutes.
Like, the Dracula is basically picking off everyone on the ship,
yeah.
And the only one that survives is Dr. Dre. Mm-hmm.
Which is a nice
because
it's nice to see a horror movie. Normally, the black guy is the first one to die.
But do you know why he survived? Because he forgot about Dre. Thank you very much.
Wow!
So he survives, and
is it Calloway
Clemens? Yeah, Clemens survives, and I was like, what if it? Again, I was like, oh, his real name is Van Helsing.
I thought for sure it was gonna be Clemens and the kid
was Van Helsing.
We're gonna. Pull away on a dinghy at the
guess
end
what
something.
Nope
no
oh and David Desmalchian is in it again
and he's in it a lot
from Oppenheimer.
Yeah,
he's like the would you call the first hand whatever
he's
the,
Riker
the next guy to the captain whatever yeah. that is called the,
yeah. number two
yeah there you go. Yeah, number two, that's very fitting, not for his performance but for the movie.
That guy
matey
that,
first mate
first
that's
mate.
Right
yeah. yeah
The Skipper to I did think, yeah.
I know the
what
one,
if this was a hidden Gilligan's Island movie?
With the one scene where they were like, they were in the storm and they were on the wheel, and I was like, if the not for the lost. Courage of the fearless crew, the Demeter would be lost.
I want to re-edit this movie when to it comes out as a Gilligan's Island, like a creepy Gilligan's Island pilot. Maybe we'll get something.
But yeah, I also my other
biggest, kind of like in the mid-2000s when everything was like it's
gritty.
It's Gilligan's Island, but it's by J.J. Abrams.
Yeah, right. All the gritty recuts of trailers. Oh, what do they do? The Shining is a romantic comedy.
Yeah, and they play Salisbury Hill.
Dun, dun, it would always be
totally dun, works. Dun, dun, it's
works.
So weird how it works.
That song is the perfect. Even though it was in that In Good Company, which I mean was fine, but I don't think that like took the world by storm.
No,
but then it became the soundtrack to every.
My other big complaint is Dracula himself. I am so tired of CG monsters.
Yeah,
like this is a perfect if. Obviously, you're not going to put them in the rain, right? The rain's going to be the CG part. That's fine. But you have this opportunity to make a vampire. Mm-hmm. Like, let somebody do the makeup for this thing and let it, you know.
Yeah. If you're going to make an old school movie.
Go old school.
Make an old school movie.
Yes, I totally agree. And I love, like, period, like, horror period pieces like this because you can negate technology. Mm-hmm. You can build this world where it's, you know, villages and hills and, you know, the whole gothic set.
Yeah.
I think that's so fun and doesn't happen anymore. And then they make a CG monster. And it's like, God, it's the same thing every single time.
I don't necessarily even mind the design. Like, I think the creature design was actually good.
It was
but
fine.
They just didn't use it effectively.
Yeah, I just wanted to see it pivot to something else. Yeah.
Like, it wasn't even I would never say this movie was bad CG. It actually felt like they were on a boat. Like, the positives of the movie, I think it looked good. Like, it really did feel like they were sailing.
When it was showing you things.
Yeah, but the water in the background, like, I really do feel like the CG was good. The set design, I mean, it looked like a boat, the costumes, it very much felt like it took part in that time period. So it's not the look of the film at all, actually, but it's the atmosphere of the film. Because again, this movie should be like Alien, where you're
stuck on a boat
and there's a monster coming after you and you don't know where it's going to come from. And then boom, it gets you. But every kill, I just swear to you, I'm like, it had no effect whatsoever. There was nothing scary.
Only time I jumped in this entire movie was, I don't know exactly what happened. Nothing happened. They just
Crystal put a tack on your seat.
Yeah, they switched. they cut to a new scene and it was daylight.
Oh yeah, and it got so bright.
Yeah, and I was like, whoa.
Yeah,
but it wasn't scared. Right, I was just like, whoa,
it hurt my eyeballs.
And this movie just gave me LASIK.
But man, it's such a fun concept.
It is, and I appreciate that they don't hammer you with like old tropes.
I get it.
Yeah, you don't appreciate that. You wish they hammered us.
Well, that they don't hit you with like all of the lore, right? Like,
why?
It's
okay, but then sometimes I would like the lore. Like, why didn't the crucifix work?
I thought the same thing.
Because they put those famous things in there about how it's always religion and crucifixes and all that. Yeah, and then it didn't
work.
I will say, in the book, they find the captain strapped to the wheel of the boat with a crucifix in his hand.
Okay.
So, like, that's not, like, you can't lay that, as much as I was confused by it, I can't lay that at the foot of the movie.
Yeah.
That's true. What I mean? It's in the book.
It's in the book that way. So then I'm like, I've never read Dracula. So I'm like, were the crucifixes something that, like, Hollywood came up with years later that were possible?
I do feel like there is a part in the book, or maybe it's in, like, one of the old movies, where Dracula goes, like, that's silly, that doesn't work. Like, and that
it's in Buffy the Vampire Slayer.
Maybe I'm thinking of that.
Like, she does that.
Where someone goes, like, that's just silly. Yeah, maybe I'm just thinking of that. I feel like it was in an older movie, and I'm thinking it might be part of the lore is that doesn't really, and it's one of those things. But I would just like a little, I would have liked to have seen a Dracula that could talk and maybe say that.
There's all kinds of weird, like, I don't think a vampire can cross running water was always a thing. I was like, well, he's on the ocean. Like, that's pretty.
I like that they burned up in sunlight.
I thought that, man, I thought when that guy gets tied to the mast,
okay, this guy's burning. Like, he's
on wood.
On a wooden boat.
I think that.
I thought the same thing. I go, don't you guys want to move him off the wooden?
Like, maybe don't let him burn the mast.
Like, you know, you're sailing on wood.
I thought the same thing
in the movie where they're just watching him. They're like, oh, wow.
Yeah. Like, I just want somebody to be like, it's okay, the fire CGI.
Yeah, don't worry about it. Yeah, it's like that I did think the same thing. Where I was one like, of those dumb things. Don't time to the
like fire. All they need, and this is what we talk about when you talk about a director like James Gunn in Guardians 3. That little thing about like how Chris Pratt would not be able to drive a car because Star-Lord did not grow up driving. Right? It would take a 5 seconds of a scene for them to go get him off there. Done.
Right.
Get him off there. Right. The ship will burn. Right?
Yeah.
That is what a better writer, I mean, no offense to this guy, I've never heard of him before, but like, I'm not trying to just pick on him, but I mean, that is the difference. You have to include those little things, and if you're going to make it 2 hours, I'm sure you could cut something else to put 5 seconds of
dialogue.
Of, you know, to not make it look silly where they're on a wooden mast and they're and it's
burning. Actually, that's one of the things that I did like about killing the kid, right? Is the kid is. So this kid is, you know, he's not precocious. He's
just real quick, I looked it up, and Dracula by Bram Stoker seems to be the first reference of crosses to ward off vampires. So it does work. So I don't understand. Maybe he's a Presbyterian, so he doesn't care about crucifixes.
So is this maybe like this guy's subversion? Is he like, you know, rewriting it
Which would just also, if you're going to rewrite, like, come on, man. Like,
but it's the same way in the book. Like, he's holding the crucifix. I don't know.
And they kind of, you know, there's a moment when the kid is, like, trapped in that office in the captain's quarters.
Yeah. Sir Davos locks him into the office and locks him in with Dracula.
No, he gets out. The kid gets out and is, like, walking around the ship, and he sees the zombie vampire dude, and he runs back in, and then Dracula's in there. He locks himself in there with Dracula.
Sorry, you said in the office. I thought you were at that part after.
No. But the kid, like, there's a moment where the kid's got that cross and he kind of holds it. He's got it in his hand, and the zombie vampire dude, like, backs away.
Yeah.
And I was like, okay, like, now we're, because none of these people know vampire lore.
Right.
So they're just trying to figure this out.
And those are the moments that worked, like with the big creepy zombie guy.
I thought he was great.
I thought that was really good. It looked good. I thought it was more anxiety inducing, you know, with the kid and everything. Like, that stuff worked. But it's the stuff in between where they didn't do enough writing and make the characters interesting enough. I mean, all the crew looked the same. I couldn't hardly tell them apart. You know,
one of them was a woman. That was the only reason we knew.
One was Asian. Thank you. I'm like, I can spot that guy.
Yeah, so.
Although, how nice is it for a change to be like, I can't tell all these white people apart.
Look at them. They're all dirty.
They all look alike.
Yeah. Dunkirk. I didn't know who Harry Styles was. That's the one that's in that, right?
Yeah.
So I'm like, I don't know who any of these people are.
Yeah. All a bunch of dirty white dudes with beards.
So we should say, so
what is this, Duck Dynasty?
So real quick, plot wise for this thing. So the captain, the crew don't really know who hired them, but they have this valuable cargo they're transporting from point A to point B.
From Romania to England.
Which makes sense with the Dracula lore. Mm-hmm. You know, that's how he's getting to the mainland. And they are transporting these big wooden crates, which essentially are, one is the Dracula coffin. And are dragons a thing? I didn't realize Dracula and dragons
like,
were.
There is something about him being like, the dragon,
called the dragon, yeah, I thought
the dragons,
yeah,
or something like that.
But because they're loading this thing up, and one has these dragon symbols on it.
Well, they all do. And then the guy that sees
The main one had like fancy seals on it.
That's true. Yes,
right, like gold seals. But they were like prints.
Yes.
Yeah. So what they do is when they're in Romania, they're going to town, and they need three crewmen. And we find out that our guy
Clemens
is educated. He is a doctor, studied to be a doctor, but no one will hire him because he's black.
Well, he didn't. Did he say that he got the job working for, or was he just bouncing around trying?
Well, they hired him, and he showed up, and when he was black, they were like, not so much.
Got it.
Also, just from a quick Google, the name Dracula means son of Dracul. In the Romanian language today, Dracul means the devil, but it is derived from the Latin Draco, meaning dragon.
There we go.
Oh, there you go.
Yeah, yeah.
Draco Malfoy.
Hey.
So
Ivan Draco.
I like it. There's a crossover for you. So they go to town. They skip him over, even though he says he knows his stuff and all this. But David Dalmachian is picking people out, and he passes him over, picks like a really old guy and some other people. And they're loading up the thing, and the old guy sees the dragon symbols, and he's whoa, like, and drops it.
Get out, I'm out.
And so by him dropping it, it damages the crate. Is it the one with Dracula or the girl that he opens first?
I don't know.
I think it's the one with the girl, because that's why they open it. Like, it breaks apart.
Oh, sure.
It kind of drops on its edge. Yeah. But anyway, so Dracula has his coffin, essentially, and a bunch of humans that he can feed off of.
We don't know that. I think
I think it's just her.
Is it just one?
Yeah. But he has a bunch of crates, and they all
They never made that clear. He has all these crates that appear.
Oh, his outfits.
That are, but it's
his wardrobe.
Full of dirt. They open them up and they're just full of dirt.
Okay, I figured they're all humans in there. Maybe he ate the humans already and threw them overboard. She was the last one.
No, because they don't make any references to like what is in those coffins.
Okay, initially,
I thought, I was like, oh, he has to be buried in like the dirt from this certain castle. Hmm. Maybe. I don't know.
Yeah.
I have no idea.
So anyway, that breaks loose and they're like, oh, and so then they're like, okay, doctor, you got a job. Just don't mess up.
So this is another thing that I had a problem with, right? So the Clemens idea is this woman is stricken with some disease. They don't know what it is. Mm-hmm. And his idea is to give her a blood transfusion.
Glad he's
a
universal donor.
Okay, but
yeah, I know, right?
Okay, so that's my point, right? If he's putting her blood into him,
no, he's just doing it to her. They're not cycling.
So how are they? What?
He's just purifying hers. He's like cutting it.
He's putting his blood into her to like fill her back.
It's not a cycle.
They were just like cycling back.
No,
and forth.
No, transfusion just means you're getting it.
I was
not
like
getting it back.
Like you're putting it in.
No, you're a vampire now.
That's how
I was
works.
Also thinking.
Now,
I'm like,
there's probably a little bit of
a back.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. You know, but
that's what I'm saying,
man. And then I was thinking, like, what if she was diseased? And I'm like, that dude's dead.
Yeah.
If it wasn't a vampire thing that we know, like he's putting the needle in there.
Even if it was just like the flu.
They're connecting at some point, probably. Right. Or I don't know, maybe the tube's long enough where the part that touches is down at her end and then you get disconnected. I don't know. But
either way.
But he's a doctor. He knows his stuff. I guess he knows the universal donor. Would have been nice to have a line of dialogue. I'm a universal donor.
I don't think universal.
Do they even know that?
They probably
yet?
Don't even know
Why?
That.
Well, then he's just gambling. And I don't
he
understand.
Gambling. Well, yeah. I mean, he's also a doctor and he did swear an oath to, you know.
I know, but then he should know that this could kill her. Like, there's not enough explanation one way or another to just do it.
Yeah.
And if they didn't know, then it's a gamble. And if he did know, just say, like, I can do it. I can transfuse because, you know, I don't know. Just a line of dialogue.
But it's funny that this is, like, a part that you're getting hung up on. And I'm not saying, like, but I was listening to last week's episode about how Jackie Chan just says, just go with it.
Yeah.
But at this point, we're just like, no, wait a minute.
Because the movie's not written well, unfortunately, and it's just every single thing adds up, right? It's like the straw that broke the camel's back.
Yeah.
Right. Bram Stoker got a writing credit on this, but I'm not blaming
him. It's
his
story.
I think that Broggy F. Shute and Zach Olkwetz need to...
It's actually funny. I was going through and I was, you know, at YouTube... just recommends all kinds of stuff. And I had not watched
That's how you became a Proud Boy.
It's unfortunate. Like, wait a minute, this isn't what I meant to happen. But I hadn't watched the Exorcist trailer yet.
They're just recommending any pale white
bloodsuckers. That one. Yeah. That one. Yeah, right, right.
That played before our
it did.
Show.
So I went back.
And rest in peace, William Friedkin.
That's right. Oh, man, what a loss. Man, he's made some. You ever seen Sorcerer?
I didn't.
Oh,
no.
Boy, that should be your homework for tonight.
Okay.
Because it is so good.
Your homework is to go watch interviews with William Friedkin.
Done.
That
dude he's great.
Was a character.
Yeah. That dude didn't care.
Did not give. No. And was so funny in the way that he just did stuff. He's like, for what's the Gene Hackman one?
Oh, the cop one.
With the hat.
Yeah.
I'm just totally blanking. The car one.
The one of the best cop movies ever made.
Oh. Why am I blanking? God damn it.
I know.
All three
the French
of
Connection.
French Connection. All I could get in my head was French Lieutenant's Woman. Yeah. And I was like, I'm pretty sure Gene Hackman was not the French
Lieutenant.
And
in my head, I was like, Italian job. I know it's like some kind of language or country.
Yeah.
But anyway, so he's like, we didn't get permits for that stuff. But the only thing we had a permit for, he was like, to do one tiny little scene or whatever. And then we just did the rest of it. Like, he is a character.
It's like he like paid off. The story I heard was that in order to get the infamous scene where they're racing the car underneath the subway tracks, that like they refused to give them the permit, and that they went to like the guy that worked that actually controlled it, like at ground level,
okay,
you know, the guy on the streets, and they like bribed him, and then he basically quit his job and moved to the Bahamas.
That's the story he tells.
Yeah, because
he's like, if we do this and it works out, you know, this is going to be great. And like, yeah, you can't work again, but you can retire there.
Right.
Like, so go watch the interviews. It's
like
hilarious.
He gave him so much money that he could afford to not work again.
Yeah. The Exorcist.
He said last time he heard, he's still like, he lived his life.
That's
there.
So good.
And the Sorcerer is currently on sale at Voodoo for $6.99.
Worth every penny. It's honestly amazing.
Okay.
It's got, I'm trying to think.
People like rave about this movie And I've never seen it either. But
who's in it?
It's the... It's Jaws.
Yeah, Roy Scheider. Roy Scheider. He made after Jaws. And this movie gets... comes out and gets completely steamrolled because it comes out like 3 weeks after Star Wars.
Yes. And it's amazing.
Okay.
It's so good. It is like one of the first times I remember like almost having a panic attack in a theater.
Oh, wow.
There's a scene that is, the premise is just, I'm not spoiling anything, is you've got three guys that they hire to.
A group of outcasts from different backgrounds and nationalities are forced by misfortune to work in an oil drilling operation in South America.
Woke.
When fire breaks out of control, four of the outcasts are given the opportunity to earn enough money to get out by transporting six crates of unstable dynamite through miles of jungle and two ancient trucks.
Yes.
And it's cool. Roy Scheider and then a bunch of names other I don't people. Recognize.
And friends.
Bruno Kramer. Literally, you know how Vudu show like at the bottom of the list of actors and it shows like the headshot and the name? Like you get a headshot for William Friedkin, you get a headshot for Roy Scheider, and everyone else is a silhouette.
It's amazing. It's so good.
All right, but plot wise, so he's transporting this woman so he can feed off of her during the voyage.
Right.
And so she is basically...
She's like a human Capri Sun.
That's exactly what she is.
And she's all but turned. Like, when they turn, they get their white glossed over their eyes.
You get, like, the milky eyes.
Yeah, and so she is not quite there yet. He's able to prolong that because of the transfusions.
Well, he thinks he cures her.
Right.
Because he just thinks it's like an illness.
But he's just delaying the inevitable.
Yeah, which I do think that scene... here's the problem also.
Yeah,
we're turning him.
I thoroughly enjoy this movie, but there are issues with it, right?
No problem. Like, there's only one.
Did you guys watch Midnight Mass?
No. I heard that started really strong and...
No. It started strong and ended even stronger. That is some of the best vampire, like, media... I guess I shouldn't... Well...
So you like that one.
Okay. I think...
Someone was just saying
Midnight
that it started
Mass
strong
is
and
incredible.
Fell off the rails.
No, it does not. Okay. It's incredible.
Okay.
And there's a scene in this that is, like... shot for shot scene like take for out of Midnight Mass.
Dang.
And I was just talking about it and I was like, well, that's serendipitous because holy if you haven't seen it, I think it's the third Flanagan miniseries for Netflix.
Yeah.
Haunting of Hill House, Bly Manor, and then Midnight
Mass. I've
never
seen anything he's done.
Haunting of Hill House is really good.
Series, those TV shows. Yeah.
Haunting of Hill House is really good. Yeah. Bly Manor, I bailed on.
I bailed
that
as well.
That was a snooze.
I agree. Hill House is incredible, and Midnight Mass is incredible.
Okay.
And so, like, yes. So he's basically, the woman gets out, and because the woman gets out, now Dracula's like, where's my food?
Yeah.
So now he starts, and I like this idea that at nighttime he's just picking people off. And initially you can say, homeboy got drunk and fell over the edge.
Right.
This is the problem. This is the problem right here. So this movie takes place over what's the journey? 2 weeks or something?
Something like
10
that.
Days,
something like
2 weeks,
that.
Right? Yeah. They're like, oh, there's a monster in this boat, and like, yeah, it's an okay sized boat. But, like, they have 12 hours of daylight to figure this shit out.
Right. That's a good point.
And then it just
That's
goes night, day.
What's true?
Night, day.
It is.
Night, day. Find the coffin and kill this fucker in 2 days.
We
you know what
I
mean? Saying?
They do have a line where they say they've been looking for it, and they're like, we can't find him.
I know,
they don't understand
why
they can't find him.
But they have so much time, and then he kills one person that's like, oh, it's daytime, and now it goes by. They don't do anything,
well,
and it's nighttime.
It's also summertime, right? So it's not like...
I think we needed a cool hiding place so we knew why they couldn't find him. Like what we should...
He's under a floorboard or whatever. That's what I mean, but like... Find this dude. You're letting the entire day go by.
He's like sleeping in a lifeboat, right off the side.
Yeah,
like,
sure.
To look in a lifeboat.
Where is this guy? I wonder if maybe we should look in all this cargo.
Right.
That is true.
He's just hiding in plain sight. What? Wonder if it's the one with the dragon medallions on it.
It wasn't until they killed the kid where Clemens is like, hey. What's in all this stuff?
Oh, hey, look, these cargo crates come off real easily.
Wait, this woman that I'm kind of flirting with this entire time came out of one of those crates? Maybe.
Do you think there might be people or maybe a bad guy in one of the crates? Also, I thought would have been really cool. My prediction was someone, one of his familiars, was working with him.
I thought
him
it was the guy.
And letting him out and closing the things back up.
Because
who's putting the metal edges back on? I thought it was the second.
Because
he pulls them off. When he's in who's putting those on?
Yeah, they never explain how he's getting in and out of his
I thought it was
crate.
The guy that was second in command.
I thought he was getting paid off or something.
Because he's the one that's like, we got to keep going.
And it makes sense because the thing that's driving the crew members to keep going, even though there's people sick and dying, they want to drop the girl off at the next port, or at least Clemens does, and they're like, no, we're going to get a bonus if we get the shipment on time, which makes sense, right? Yeah. Like, that's a good plot point to keep them going. But also, yeah, if it was a hidden agenda of like, oh no, but I need to get Drac here because I'm his guy.
He's like, actually, my last name is Renfield.
Yeah. Well, one of them could have been Renfield. That's what I'm saying. I thought Renfield was working undercover and, you know, picking people off and helping him feed the people to him. Like, there are some really great ideas
there. I think the whole idea of this movie is kind of brilliant.
The setup's great, and then all these things we're mentioning, you could really amp up and make it exciting and make it.
And I'm not saying that you need to make Clemens Van Helsing or Renfield has to be on the boat.
But they did. Clemens is his vampire hunter. They set him up, and it's like, are we supposed to know who Clemens is? Like, he should have been someone that you know from the lore.
Right.
If they're going to do it, why are we now, I'm Clemens the vampire hunter? Well, what the hell is that?
I'm assuming the way they're setting this up is that Dracula's Jack the Ripper, right?
That's exactly. Always been kind of like a theory.
It's Drac the Ripper.
He looks, he's wearing the same outfit. He's got the cane.
Isn't that what they do in Dracula? Is that what Gary Oldman, when he's in
that? I gotta tell you, I've never seen that movie.
Oh, you haven't?
No.
There's one movie where they do set up that Dracula is the one that
I know
is,
there's the one where he's Judas. You ever see that one?
Yeah, so that's Dracula, I thought.
It's Dracula, and that's the one with This is Sparta guy.
This is Sparta.
Yeah, who's that?
Gerard Butler?
Gerard Butler is Dracula.
Oh, yeah.
But that's the one.
Yes, yes.
But the whole
premise
is that, like...
Is that Dracula 2000?
Yes.
That's Dracula 2000.
Yes.
With Johnny Lee Miller in it.
And Jennifer Esposito.
There you go.
But yeah, the reason he's allergic to silver is his weakness.
That's
because
cool...
it's the silver that Judas was given.
That's a cool setup.
To turn on Jesus.
Ghost Ship played before.
I wonder why. Because this is a giant ship movie.
Yeah.
Did you say it's a giant ship
movie? I did not say that. It's a ship.
And isn't Ghost Ship 2, other than the intro? Opening?
It's fine. That first 10 minutes, though, so good.
Right?
I knew
as soon as I saw it,
I did.
That's the one.
That's it. Juliana Margulies, when they thought that was going
to
be a thing.
See, you need to go to Alamo so we can just review the pre-show. They had Dracula promoting a car dealership.
That was so good.
Old cartoons. They do a curated pre-show for every movie that plays at Alamo, and they're so good, the clips they find.
It's fun trying to figure out, like, well, how does that get, what does that mean?
Genuinely more entertaining than this movie.
Yeah, but I hear you, and
I'm not trying to
no.
You enjoyed it. I'm just
I enjoyed it. This is like Halloween Ends and Halloween Kills, right? Like, I know that those are not good movies. I enjoyed them. I had fun because I'm a homer for a Halloween movie, but I can also understand that they're not written that well. Anyway, back to that Exorcist thing that I was saying is, I watched that trailer and I was like, okay, like, we're bringing back, like, the mom, which is fine. Like, that's the mom from the original movie is coming back as the same character. And then I looked it up online and I saw who wrote this movie. And it's the same guy who wrote Insidious 5.
Oh, no.
And who wrote Halloween Kills.
No.
And who wrote the new Firestarter. And I was like, oh boy.
How are they blackmailing?
Because he works with David Gordon Green. And David Gordon, those Halloween movies made money. Like, every single one made a bunch of money.
They did make money,
and they gave
him
the Exorcist.
Just work with Danny McBride?
I don't know. But I was like, that's right. This does not bode well for the Exorcist requel.
Maybe there's something else that week.
That's the other thing I did want to talk about.
Sequels.
Yeah, Exorcist.
It is.
Why are we releasing? I think about the Haunted Mansion and this. Like, why are we releasing horror movies or spooky movies?
I think these are dumping ground
for
movies.
That's fine though.
So they can premiere on streaming at Halloween.
At Halloween,
that's fair.
Get the theater money now, because
I didn't think about that.
They're not good enough to
make
the money.
What's the big Halloween release this year?
Exorcist, I think.
Yeah, so I think they figure, like,
that's going to eat everything.
We can't go up against that.
Mm. That's fair.
So we put it out now, and we'll get the home video money. Yeah. I'm sure Disney Plus is thinking, like, oh, Haunted Mansion will debut in October.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's a good point.
That's a huge driver for a family movie during Halloween.
That's a great point. I didn't think about it. I was like, okay, that makes more sense. But we're going to release them in August.
But it is weird, though. But that's the thing, is so many movies come out now. You would not, when there were two Halloween movies out in a year, or two spooky movies, then it'd be like, okay, drop those around Halloween. But now there's 20 horror movies.
And it used to be the window was long enough to where it's like you could put it out on Halloween, and then it would come out on home video the next year at Halloween. Right.
I think of that A24 one. Like, that A24 one is getting crazy buzz.
Yeah.
Talk to me. And again, it's
heard really mixed things about that, too.
Oh, really?
I've heard that it starts out strong and doesn't finish well. I heard that it is a good premise, but, like, it just doesn't go anywhere. And then I've heard some people say they love it. So, like, I'm just hearing really polarizing.
I just think it's weird to release things. Horror movies, at least not until
they're like YouTubers that made that movie.
Is that right?
Yeah.
Oh, good for them.
And apparently it's like, wow, this is surprising that it's good and it's making money. And it's like,
yeah,
I mean, there's some really talented YouTubers, but they don't usually go to the film world. Right. Sure. And these guys made the jump. And
I wonder if like YouTube is like the new music video where you're just like,
it would not surprise me.
Fincher and all those guys came from
especially the barrier for entry has gotten so low.
Oh,
you can make really good stuff with just iPhones, you know?
Yeah, totally. So, so they, you know, the Dracula's picking everybody off. And they end up killing this kid. And I thought this was a really good scene where they're trying to do the same thing with the kid to give him the blood transfusion, and it doesn't work. They're going to throw the kid overboard because he's dead. And Sir Davos is like, I saw him move. And I do like that everybody's like, sorry, dude. Like, he didn't move.
Yeah.
but then it's like, he probably did move because he's about to eat your face.
Oh, yeah.
So they take the canvas off, and they set this kid on fire.
Well, he sets himself on fire, right? Because the sun.
He bursts into flames.
Well, yeah. I mean,
they don't set him on fire.
No, sure. Yeah. Because he's a vampire.
Yeah,
set on fire.
I'm just saying, it sounds like they didn't go take a pitchfork and a flame and be like,
Viking funeral.
That's a good way to save money.
I mean, like, it's efficient. Yeah. He sets himself on fire, then he floats out.
But then, like, they're just like, bye, and flip him into the water. And then there's like an extended shot of this kid's charred face while he's sinking in the water. I was like, God,
this
damn.
Guy really has it out for Jesus. This kid.
Yeah. This is a guy, this director got a vasectomy at 20.
No kids. So, yeah. So, basically, the Dracula tears through everybody, and our main Clemens, and I wanted to call her Mina, who is like the female character from Bram Stoker's Dracula.
Okay.
That's not who she is, but that's what I thought of her as. Jump off the boat, and they're kind of floating like Jack and
Jill.
Yeah.
Whatever.
I was just saying, I was like,
Rose.
Titanic, Rose, yeah, right. Except this one apparently was big enough to hold them both.
Yeah.
And I did I thought this was a really good scene, is Clemens worked really hard to get this gal healthy, and it was inevitable. It was inevitable that she was going to turn, and he kind of like comes to on the side and looks at her, and she's got the glassy eyes, and she's like, this was going to happen no matter what.
Okay. Coming out October 13th, The Exorcist coming out early.
I mean, well,
a couple weeks early.
Yeah.
Because next week, Killers of the Flower Moon, Scorsese.
That's not a horror movie.
No, but it's going to take a lot of box office away.
Yeah, but not from horror people.
Yeah.
Okay. There's
fans.
More, but I'm just saying like that is going to draw.
I do want to see.
And
that,
is Killers of the Flower Moon, is that a wide release, or is it going to be like a New York, LA?
I think it's a wide release. Gotcha.
Pull that Netflix.
And then you have a movie called Crypt of Evil coming out the same week as Killers of the Flower Moon. And then the next week, Five Nights at Freddy's, which is a big kids property. Yeah. So that is going to take.
Is that rated R? Or is that PG-13? Does it say?
I think it's curious. A PG-13. Okay. They want to get PG-13. Yeah. They want the kid money. And then that's a October 27th, which is probably a Wednesday release. Then October 31st is something called The Lost, which is a horror movie. You have Listen Carefully, horror movie. Dark Haven, horror movie. There Is No Sanctuary, horror movie. So there's a lot of stuff coming out around there. So I think they saw there was a loaded
I think
October.
The Exorcist is the big tentpole one.
Yeah. Smart to release it now. And like you said, get the streaming viewers then, because in the theater, it's going to be...
Yeah, it's going to swallowed
it's
up.
Exorcist, Killers of the Flower Moon, Five Nights at Freddy.
Yeah.
The 3 weeks there. And those are all going to be big box office
shows. Sure. So she kind of floats off and lets herself get burned up. He makes his way back to England and is saying, like, I'm going to hunt this thing. And I did. I think this scene is really good, except for the fact that it's a stupid CG vampire.
Yeah.
There's a gimmick that they run throughout on the ship where you can knock kind of anywhere on the ship and it echoes all over. And as Clemens is sitting at the bar, he hears the knock and he's, you know, can't figure out. He turns around.
He does with his cane is how he's...
Which, yeah, which again, I thought that vampires were allergic to silver, but I'm pretty sure that wasn't the case here.
I think you kill them with it. I don't know if it, like,
I think you have to shoot them with it. Yeah. I don't think that...
Like, touch their organs or something, I always thought.
Okay. Yeah, because I always hear silver bullet, not silver.
That's a werewolf.
Oh, that's werewolves.
But with vampires, I still think that maybe it is an allergy, like a touch, but for some reason, I always thought it was like you had to stake them or... Like,
there's all kinds of weird...
But, you know, it's all different rules.
Yes, there's all kinds of different rules.
You know they're not real, right?
Maybe.
So, but did we say, like, it's down to Clemens and the girl, and then they're going to, like, run the boat into...
Well,
the,
yeah, they think they've got him trapped. They've got him trapped on the boat, and they jump off thinking that he's stuck, and that's not the case.
What's the thing on the front? Like, there's usually a mermaid. There's, like, a spike or whatever. Like, what's the thing called?
I don't know.
Yeah, I can't remember.
But he's like, he gets wedged between a piece of the mass of the mast.
Yeah, like I thought he got impaled.
I did too. Yeah. And I was like, okay,
oh, stake through the heart.
Right.
Which is what I think they were trying to
but also, make you think. Yeah. This is the lead up to him going to England, so he's going to survive.
Well, right. Yeah, that's also the other thing where I know it can be exciting to, it's not the what, it's the how and the journey. And, you know, if it's really interesting, good. Yeah.
You know what else
great.
I thought, honestly? Hmm. That this wasn't Dracula.
Oh, it was like
that,
bait and
switch. He was like, of familiar of, and that yeah, Dracula henchmen. Was down in the bowel somewhere.
See, they could do some interesting head fakes with it, but that's the thing, is it's just like, you know, they show you the boat's gonna crash, it's called The Last Voyage of the Demeter, we know the story, you know that Dracula's gonna kill everyone and get out, so like you have to make it really interesting or else like we're not in it for the what's gonna happen. Yeah. You know, like you just, it's predictable, they're getting picked off, there was nothing that was like, man, this is so interesting. Right. What is going to happen next? It's like, okay, we know what's going to happen. How is it going to play out? And I don't know. To me, there wasn't enough inventiveness to keep me, you know, hooked to be like, wow, this is really cool. I know. And
yeah, I think, I mean, if they maybe hadn't shown you the beginning of the boat crashing and just called it the last voyage of the Demeter, and then everything kind of goes down the way that it goes down, is fine.
Yeah, I don't think we needed the flash forward thing because it just. I don't know.
So then Clemens is in the bar and he kind of like hears the knock and he turns and he sees the cane that we had seen earlier in one of the boxes, and it kind of pans up and he's again wearing like the cape with like the high collar and the top hat, and he smiles a very creepy smile.
He looks like the Resident Evil zombie from the first game it just looks like a zombie with a top hat on.
Yeah. And then he's gone, and of course
like, looks like the he looks like the cover of a Iron Maiden.
That's
album.
What I sure.
This guy can hide himself and disguise as any human. Has he ever seen a human?
And that was one of the, yes, he can disguise himself as anyone. I was like, you could, you know, Christopher Lee, or you could any sort of like thing
when
like
he
that.
Didn't look like a human, but he looked I just like thought it was an alien. He's in a bar looking like an alien with a top hat.
I can disguise myself as a human as long as the human is a burn victim.
Yeah, it's just
charred to a crisp.
The choices are so silly.
And then, of course, it, you know, Clemens sees him off in the
and then
the
he
fog.
Gives the outro about the sequel to this movie.
Yeah.
I will hunt him down. But he's like not Van Helsing or anyone. He's just Clemens Vampire Hunter.
I was trying
hunter.
To think of like what was Keanu Reeves' character's name?
Constantine.
He's Constantine.
I know. But
yeah. Don't
in
don't,
our hearts.
Mother. In whose heart? Not mine. I'll tell you that right now. Yeah. I think that there's a lot of really good ideas. And I did enjoy this movie for the most part because I did kind of miss the more animalistic or gory vampire flicks, right? Mm-hmm. And I we got that sort of.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I appreciate. And I do that like kind of kills.
I do like the detective story a little bit, where they're, or the thing aspect of this movie, where they're trying to figure out who they can trust, what this thing is, blah blah blah. But it is a little long.
Too long.
It is too long. It got boring. There's no reason to be 2 hours.
It's just.
I wish Dracula was a man or not CG all the time.
He's a man, baby.
Yeah.
It's just such a missed opportunity.
Yeah. It is. It could have been, and this could have been their way to get Dracula into whatever they're trying to do with the Invisible Man and stuff like that.
David S. Malchin falls off the mast through the floor onto I'm like, how is he alive, first of all? But he just crashes through the floor onto the ground, and you know, his bone is sticking out of his leg, but I'm like, that's quite the fall.
It's gonna hurt.
It's like in the last part of the movie when they're like, we'll sink the boat to kill Dracula. And I'm like, he can fly.
Yeah. And you okay, guys, so that's, and
he I gotta can tell you, fly and land is in sight.
That's like, a whole plot point in Midnight Mass. Like the whole thing is like he can fly.
Yeah.
It's a whole thing that I was like, man, this is all right. These are weird plot points that from a very successful recent miniseries.
Right.
Like don't. Yeah. All right.
So yeah, this movie was,
I enjoyed it a lot, but I
missed opportunity.
There's a lot of missed opportunities as well.
Like this could have been a lot of fun and it was just kind of a snooze.
Well, it could have been a really good setup for whatever the Dark Universe, forever the Universal Monsters are now.
Right.
Like you said, if they would have nailed this, if they would have nailed something,
yeah.
Dracula, something,
anything,
but if they would have gotten it right and it set up whatever, and then he looked like a human and whoever, bring in a big actor where it's like, whoa, you know, it's like at the end of Alita when, who is it? The Hulk, Edward Norton is the bad guy. And you're just like, Edward Norton's in this movie? Like they need to do that. The end where it's like, oh wow, here's Dracula for our new movies. Like they could have really set this up as something big and the idea was great, but yeah, the execution was not.
Swing and a miss. Go watch Salem's Lot and Midnight Mass.
You'll check just those out. Yeah.
They're really. But you've never seen Salem's Lot?
Oh, I mean, yeah, probably. A long
Salem's
time
Lot
ago,
has one of the scariest scenes I've like scared me as a kid.
Yeah,
like nobody's.
I think
business.
I've seen that in VHS. I mean, it's been a really long time.
But. So good.
So anyway, I guess that's it for this one. Let's go around the table and everyone can say where to find them.
This is Joe. You can follow me on the Twitter at Joey Butts, BUTTS21, also on Letterboxd at the same.
This is Kevin. Follow me on Twitter at Kevin R. Brackett.
And this is Tom. You can follow me on Twitter at Roger Kubert or on Facebook at facebook.com/Tom O'Keefe. You can find the show online at facebook.com/Real Spoilers. While you're there, like the page, join the group, and don't forget our YouTube channel at youtube.com/TheClipOut. So that's it for this one.
The Clip Out?
Oh, sorry.
Oh, no.
It's been a long weekend. There we go. Let's try this again. At youtube.com/... Well, I guess we can't say /Real Spoilers because it doesn't work that way.
/@Real Spoilers.
/@Real Spoilers.
For crying out loud.
That's so dumb.
Yeah.
Why would they do that?
Who knows? So stupid usernames. They want it to all be like social media, but it's like, that's a terrible URL.
It's awful.
It really is.
So anyway, that's it for this one. Thanks for tuning in. And until next time, Cindy pays Rosenberg for her psychiatric bills.
Get ready for a spoiler. Won't say it twice cause we already warned ya. Better watch out, it's gonna ruin the plot.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns. Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.